Might as well tell you. Had a lunch meeting last week with a minister, another minister. That's about as exciting as cleaning the oven. Anyway, we had to talk about the way Presbytery is getting realigned and rearranged, and we'll have more information for you next week. That's a promise. But he was filling me in on a lot of things, and he said, have you been preaching stewardship sermons? And I said, no. I said, I gave one. I think I'm going to give another one this Sunday just to be legitimate in the stewardship season. And he said, that's a good idea. But he said, on the other hand, he said, you have a wonderful church. And I said, oh, tell me about it. I love to hear this from somebody else. They say, you're excellent in your own mission giving. He said, what I've heard you talk about is wonderful. And it sounds like that they responded well for your kitchen project. And it sounds like, and he's telling me all the stuff that I already know. And I thought, yeah, you know, that's right. It's true. You're the first time in my ministry I've ever, ever experienced such a wonderful treasure as Mike, what's his name? I don't like him to get a swelled head, so I don't want to give him the whole name, do I, Ida? No. But it's true. And it's the first church I've ever experienced where everybody responded when you mentioned it once, and that's it. We need money for the kitchen. We need money for mission. We have less than 3 months that we give emphasis for mission, and we always break the bank, which is amazing, Marilyn. Isn't it? How many churches do that? Not many. And to tell you the truth, then he was telling him about churches that are running a deficit and have to get loans from the bank just to operate. And I said, wow, that's really worth saying. So see, I'm telling you what somebody else said. Isn't that wonderful? Give yourself a hand. Yeah. I think that's important. And what's equally important is when we talk about the Word, and we talk about the Word being preached and the Word being lived, you're a living example. That's amazing. And there aren't many small churches that can say that or do that. That is a blessing. And how's that for a slick intro to stewardship? Did you... I've had to slide into it somehow, but it was all truthful. It was. You're amazing. Open your Bibles. This is a good, good scripture for this Sunday before Christ the King Sunday, mainly because it's about responsible stewardship. Responsible stewardship. And it's that simple. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. You'll see in your Bibles it says the parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, Jesus said, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who'd received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who'd received the 5 brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I've gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who'd received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here, it belongs to you. The master replied, you wicked and lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whoa, what a story. And what a parable when Jesus gave it. How well I recall people over the years who lost a bundle directly or indirectly on short-sighted investments. I had one friend of mine in the church in West Virginia who always lost at the horse race track north of town. Always. Always. And he was always crying the blues. And he was the first to come to the church pantry when we were giving out food because he was lost a bundle. Risk-taking is what I'm talking about. Risk-taking with money. I've learned to respect that over the years. And when I was working with the Presbyterian Foundation, I learned even more about it. There isn't much risk-taking, particularly, I learned, that's beneficial for Christians. I remember one occasion we were having a training meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the speaker was John Templeton. And it was after he was knighted and made Sir John Templeton, and he was giving the presentation, and we were all sitting there, and of course there was the press there in the hall where he was speaking. John Templeton did a lot of investing over the years. John Templeton is responsible, really, for the whole investment program that makes the Board of Pensions what it is. And John Templeton, as a good Presbyterian, was also one of the ones who put together a good package for the Presbyterian Foundation where we don't invest in armaments or chemical warfare, all this bad stuff. And we still turn a pretty good percentage. He didn't like risk-taking, but he also was very moral, very upright, and a good Christian man. Anyway, he was telling the story of his life where he grew up in rural Tennessee. Sir John Templeton. Isn't that a hoot? That's what he thought. Anyhow, it was over, and one of the newspaper people in the back were asking questions, and they said, Sir John, and he kind of had a snicker smile. You know, for anybody from Tennessee or West Virginia or anything, you call them sir. Whew. Wow, that's up front. But anyway, the young newspaper man said, how do you explain your wealth? And John Templeton said very quietly and very pointedly, I tithe. And the reporter, I knew he was on the product of the Presbyterian Church or Sunday school, he said, what's a tithe? And Templeton proceeded to lecture him from the New Testament and the Old Testament what a tithe was and what you do with it And that's where I got my wealth. How much have you tithed, young man? And that poor reporter. Probably scared him out of going to church the next Sunday. The parable here is about John Templeton. It's about investments. It's about investments. And for those who invest wisely, there's security. For those who don't, there's nothing. It's just a case of bad nothing. And whether that's on heaven or on earth, I think that's the same application Jesus is making here. In a very real sense, Jesus was talking about the security that comes when you are willing to share and willing to grow, not willing to maintain. Verse 21. I love verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the happiness of your master. Enter into the happiness of your master. The promise of an unending friendship with Christ is certainly a treasure that many of us, and all of us, I hope, will want in our lifetime. A friendship with Jesus Christ, not just as our Savior, as Redeemer or friend, but more than a friend. More than a friend. But for our lives now, it's a peculiar kind of security that we talk about. We save by losing. We save by losing. We gain by giving. Even as God gave His only Son on a cross. That's the example that we need to hear week after week. Why not preach a stewardship sermon? Every Sunday is a stewardship sermon if you talk about Christ's sacrifice. Because the expectation is that you're going to duplicate that in your life for other people. Look at this parable. The one talent man was afraid of his master. He was fearful of him. And he also pointed out some things that we don't often read in the Scripture. He sowed seed where he shouldn't have, and he harvested where he shouldn't have. That means that he was, kind of a rascal. But he turned a coin, didn't he? But that's not the point. He saw his master as harsh and unreasonable, and he didn't trust him, so he just buried his money in the ground. And it's hard to like someone you don't trust. It's hard to like someone who doesn't agree with you. It's hard to like, to love, anyone who has a different viewpoint or a different attitude about love. The trust relationship in this scripture is zero. There was no way he could obey the first commandment to love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul the way the other two did. They tried to double whatever the money was they were receiving. They tried to benefit from it and have someone else benefit as well. That guy, that third one, you know, when you're afraid, when you're afraid of God and so afraid of your master that you don't really have any respect for him at all, do you? Was not based on how little he had, but on how little he trusted his master. The one coin? He looked into a mirror, he saw a frightened person. There are people like that in church who just don't want to get involved, don't want to get involved in any way, shape, or form. Don't ask me. Don't bother me. Don't expect me to. Those other fellows Jesus is reminding us in the parable trusted their lives. They trusted everything that they had and possessed. and not to really be productive for the master was out of the question. Out of the question. Now, here's the truth in this parable. The decision on how we invest in God's grace is really up to us. It's up to each one of us individually. It suggests two things we must be willing to do if we're going to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of my life. And that's what we're aiming for. We're aiming for to trust God. To trust God no matter what, because that grace and that love and forgiveness come to us without question. To commit ourselves to a lifelong investment. Which means we could lose a bundle because we're going to lose ourselves in the process. That's hard. I know it. I know it. But boy, when you give that grace to other people, and you give to other people, you are enriched and blessed beyond anything you can imagine. And I'm looking at people here who do this all the time, and you know what I'm saying. My friends, when you give all of you to Jesus Christ, when you give yourself, it's going to be the best investment you've ever made. God, our Father, we're grateful. You humble us directly and indirectly and remind us over and over again of what you're expecting from us, which is really us. Encourage the best part of us to take charge of the worst part of us for your glory in Christ. Amen.